see the title of this message. By the way, sorry about our sound. Our sound people are working really hard all the time, and I don't know, it's just been recently we've had issues. But you can pray for them, because I know they're working hard. But the title of this message today is New Year, Fresh Fear. Are we raising gangsters or heroes? By the way, that's also a plug for Friday morning. It's been crazy good. For the guys, breakfast, 6 o'clock Friday morning, I encourage you to be there. One of the things that Josh is leading us through is this living a larger story. And what he's talking about right now is that, you know, our epic story has certain elements to it. I won't give you the rest of it because you need to show up. It's good stuff. But are we raising, are we training up? We have so many children here. Are we raising gangsters or heroes? Has everything to do with fear. By the way, while I just reminded myself, note, I wrote it down. Wednesday night, we're going to do two very important things. We're going to pray over Katie as we're sending her to Nigeria to get Oliver and bring him home. Amen. Huge praise. Yes. Finally got the exit interview date. And if things go, as they have been going for the six couples prior to them, it is either they do one of two things. They hand you the stamped visa right there, or they get it to you within a few days, and every one of those couples that has gotten to that place has their children home. We are expecting her to get Oliver and bring him home after almost 4 years, 3.5. Wow. And so huge praise. We're going to pray over her, and Wednesday night, we're going to pray over Michael. Michael is being officially recognized, set apart, put a target on him, put a bullseye, whatever you want to call it, as a deacon in our church. So we're going to be doing that Wednesday night. I want to invite you, there's not been very many weeks in all the years of ministry where I have seen this kind of thing happen. Doug came in and talked to me about his finding out this week that he had lymphoma. I just found out that Sean and Christy, who are on the worship team, their daughter, her cancer is worse now or came back. Some new things showed up. And then we just found out Friday that Vanessa has breast cancer. So it's been three people in our immediate family. And, I'm going to be praying for them as we open here in a minute. So if you would turn your Bibles to Psalm 34, and I want to just, I raise those people before you because as I preached last week, this new year is going to have mountains. There's going to be places that are steep, places that when we get, you're just going to be trooling along in the upward path of Christ, and then you're going to get hit with these things that, oh my goodness, if your feet are not shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, you're going to fall. And I praise God. I praise God for men and women whose feet stand in the peace and the power of Jesus Christ, no matter what a doctor tells them. Amen? It's a beautiful thing. And so I am thankful for that. And so I just want to encourage you to keep praying for that supernatural peace and for Jesus Christ to be glorified in this new year. Psalm 34, 7 through 11. Yeah. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Oh God, I pray you would light up your word today, that we would know what it is to tremble before majesty, to be in the presence of the King of Kings. Oh God, you are so beautiful. And Jesus, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb slain. And Lord God, I pray that you would quicken us today. You would wake us up to the majesty and the power of who you are and who Jesus is. Oh, Holy Spirit, come into us. Waken us up to the fear of the Lord, that we might walk in that glorious power, knowing that those who fear the Lord, you have sent your angels to encamp around us, and you have brought such promises to all of us who fear you. God, light us up today in the name of Jesus. Amen. We need to teach our children the fear of the Lord. I keep coming back to that place in Ecclesiastes. When will God be exalted in the world? When he is hallowed in you before their eyes. When the people of God are undone by the presence of God, then the world will be impacted. Teaching our children to fear the Lord, as one amazing preacher that I used to sit under years ago said, the truly important things of God are caught, not taught. Fear is contagious. Fear. Teach them to praise God. Teach them to exalt God. Teach them to serve God. Teach them to love God. But we also need to teach our children to fear the Lord, because it's the base. It's the beginning. Proverbs 9:10, and let's just go there. I got a lot of scriptures today. Hopefully, we will get through them. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, a very famous verse. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning. Without fear, there's no beginning for anything that you might think you know about God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There's no beginning. You could say there's no foundation to your understanding. But please hear this warning. Please hear this. It's not something you graduate from. I've actually heard older Christians say this. I used to fear the Lord. I used to fear the Lord, but now I'm entered into grace and I don't fear him anymore. Beware. Beware. All you have to do is look in Scripture and see the track record of older saints who lost their fear of God and see how they've fallen. There's no graduating from the fear of the Lord. I want to tell you that the fears in my life had changed. There's some people that are here today that were in our church a really long time ago. And during that time, I was so terrified of people. And speaking in public was so terrifying to me. You guys still scare me now, but not near as much as the fear of the Lord. When I open the Word of God, more than ever, my heart trembles. More than ever, I get up earlier and earlier on every Sunday morning saying, oh God, prepare me to bring your holy Word. You are so crazy holy, and your Word is so majestic. Oh God, help me. There's a living fear in me, because God, the more you know him, the more you fear him. It's not something you graduate from. It's something that should deepen in you. Oh, how many Old Testament saints lost their fear of the Lord and fell so far away from God. To know him is to fear him even more. 1 Peter 1:17, we don't need to turn there, but Peter, I call him old Peter at that time, but he's been doing it for a long time, and he says that you're throughout the time of your journey here to walk in the fear of the Lord, throughout every phase. And so here he is as an old man, and he's telling you that throughout every step of the mountain that God has you climbing, the fear of the Lord needs to be there. It's got to be there. I was kind of thinking in my head this week of the different things that God has taken us through the last year. I mean, and just even the last few months, calling us to awake to righteousness. Wake up, saints. You get the privilege every day to get up and walk in the miracle of Jesus Christ. Amen. You get to do the things that are righteous because of the miracle of Christ in you. You get to actually do acts and deeds that will have an eternal glory to them, things you couldn't do before Christ. You need to wake up to the glory that is yours, and don't trade it away. Don't live a lesser story. Are you ready to be tried by fire? Are you ready for your apocalypse, the unveiling of your life? How are you doing today? I need to hear you. How are you doing today? I am what? Beautiful. Amen. You know why? Because he gave you what? Beauty for ashes. Did he not? Did he not? Awake to righteousness. You are beautiful. Take in and receive the joy of the Lord. It is your what? It's your strength. And oh, may his peace, may your feet be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And last week we looked at that man, Caleb, who said, give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. And he charged. He was living a larger story because he still feared God. Fear. I started just that little rerun with awake to righteousness. I want to ask you a question. What keeps you awake in a world that's sound asleep? What keeps you awake at night? Because Romans says the night is far spent. What keeps the church awake when the world is in a stupor? I think fear plays a huge role in that. The Apostle Paul says, knowing the terror of the Lord, I persuade men. I remember, by the way, a little story about how fear helps keep people awake. I don't know, I flashed my mind. I got these twisted little memories. I'm sorry. But my wife and I, there was this guy, a young man, we were trying to witness to. And he was one of those really tough young guys. I think he went off into the Marines, you know, big guy, like 6'1", just barely dude. And he was pretty full of himself. And we were trying to share Christ with him. We had him with us at a campground next to a lake near Ovando. I think it was Cooper Lake. This neat little campground, pretty lake. And we were trying to share Christ with him. He was like, mostly he just wanted to know what we had for dinner and leave me alone kind of thing. But there was these warning signs at the campground about a bear that had been raiding the campground. And so I'm trying to share Christ with him. This guy was like, until God sent the bear. This bear, you could hear him just outside the range of our firelight, and he was huffing and popping his teeth and walking. Sure enough, it was a bear. Dude was wide awake after that. When I was talking about, you know, are you ready to die? He had real context for what I was talking about. He was one of these guys, but I was raised in the woods. It didn't really scare me, the bears out there, but he was a guy raised in the city, and this bear was coming for him. And I let him think that. Yep. So let me ask you, what keeps you awake at night? Yeah, bear. So let me ask you this question, because you need to do an audit today. What fears cause you to lose sleep? What are you afraid of? The question I started today with, raising gangsters or heroes, the difference is what you're afraid of. What are you afraid of? See, what you're afraid of reveals who you are, and it reveals what's driving you in life. As a young man, I was scared to death of girls. And then I saw one I liked, and I was even more scared. And then I was scared she'd say no. And then I was really scared that she might say yes. And if I'd known what was going to happen, actually, if I'd known what was going to happen, I would have run toward her. But I was scared. I mean, I was scared. I mean, what are you scared of? Are you scared of the future? Are you scared of what a doctor might tell you? Things that go bump in the night, or losing your job, or conspiracy theories, IRS. Maybe you're scared of being alone, not fitting in, and not having friends. Maybe you're scared of getting lost. Maybe you're scared of the dark. Fears are what drive you. Are you fearful about being insignificant or not heard? Fearful about wasting your life? What drives you? You need to ask that question. What's keeping you up at night? If I were to look up a spirit of fear, you usually land in this verse, 2 Timothy 1:7. Let's go there, because this is normally how we talk about fear in the church. 2 Timothy 1:7. First For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has not given us the spirit of fear. And normally when we talk about fear, that's what people go to. They, well, you know what? God's not given us the spirit of fear. And there's, I don't know who counted these, but supposedly there's 365 times in the Bible when it says, thou shalt not fear. So that means one for what? Every day of the year. So you got something to think about every single day. But do not fear comes up 365 times. Satan prowls around like a roaring lion. And that's how he works. He roars, and he wants to drive you with fear. Fear that you won't be able to pay your bills, so the guy takes an extra job. And so he starts worrying about the cares of the world. He's driven by his responsibilities. He's driven by fear. It's the spirit of fear. But I want to tell you something. Boy, do we need to connect to this. That spirit of fear, which is a demonic spirit, wow. It's like so many of Satan's weapons. It's a counterfeit. What is a counterfeit, by the way? What's a counterfeit? Something that's made in an exact, this is Webster's, the exact imitation of something valuable or important with the intention to deceive or defraud. So Satan has his spirit of fear. Isaiah 11, 1 through 3, you won't have to go there, but it talks about how upon Jesus will be the spirit of, and it's talked about the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of knowledge and the spirit of counsel and the spirit of understanding and the spirit of fear. And each one of those is talking about the Holy Spirit of fear. Did you realize that in Jesus, when you get saved, when the Spirit comes in you, he gives you also a Holy Spirit of fear. So Satan's counterfeit of that. By the way, when you're looking for phrases like fear God, fear the Lord, fear of the Lord, let's see, fear the Lord, fear of God, 490 times in the Bible. So you got the real McCoy, then you got the counterfeit. The Bible talks a lot about the fact that we need to fear God. It needs to be something that drives us. He's not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us the Holy Spirit, in which opens our eyes to the truth that God is unspeakably holy. If you're going to have a really powerful new year, some of us need to ask God for a fresh new fear, a fresh new awareness of the holiness of God, a fresh new visitation of the majesty of God. That we need to come again in meekness before majesty. It's the beginning of wisdom, but you do not graduate from it. Proverbs, let's kind of follow this track of Proverbs for a little bit. And just, I want you to take some scriptures with you. Maybe you might need to look at this later. It's one of the most famous ones is in Proverbs chapter 9. Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Okay? Proverbs chapter 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I went through Proverbs, by the way. These two concepts are paired throughout the book. A scoffer and those who fear. I've been doing ministry a long time. God can deal with ignorance, even a hard rebellion. He can break that. He can deal with a lot of sins and addictions that we have. But if we have a spirit that scoffs at the Lord, oh my goodness. And I want to tell you, there's no more prevailing, destructive spirit in our teenagers than the spirit of scoffing at the things of God. And it begins by scoffing at what? Authority. Anything that is above them. And there's somehow this license to scoff. And that's why this book of Proverbs, which is written to a young man, has such strong warnings about scoffing and pairs it with, but don't, not you. What you need to do is what? Fear the Lord. So Proverbs 9, 10. Let's skip to another one. Proverbs 15. Verse 12, a scoffer does not love one who corrects him, nor will he go to the wise. Verse 16, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Let's go to Proverbs 19. Verse 23, the fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil. A lazy man buries his hand in the bowl and will not do so much as bring it to his mouth. Strike a scoffer, and the simple will become wary. Rebuke one who has understanding, and he will discern knowledge. He who mistreats his father and chases away his mother is a son who causes shame and brings reproach. Cease listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. A disreputable witness scorns. By the way, that's one of the cover words for scoffing, scorn, justice. And the mouth of the wicked devours iniquity. Judgments are prepared for scoffers and beatings for the backs of fools. I could go on. There's other places where this is paired together. One of the greatest enemies of our children's future is when they get around other youth and they scoff together. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 23. There's an energy to this. Somehow scoffing is contagious. This is a story that Elisha has just been... He's just taken over for Elijah. Forgive me if I get him backwards a few times in this little bit of the message because I'm really bad with names and these two names are way too close together. So Elisha has just taken over from Elijah. Elijah has just taken a fiery chariot out of here. I mean, he got like boom. And so all of a sudden, Elisha is the dude. And so God does two great miracles through him to establish that this is the new guy in town. He is the new prophet. He's very young and this is the beginning of his ministry. He's just done two crazy cool miracles. And then look at verse 23. Then he went up from there to Bethel, and as he was going, this is Elisha, up the road, some youth came from the city and mocked him and said to him, go up, you bald head, go up, you bald head. So he turned around and looked at them and pronounced a curse on them in the name of the Lord, and two female bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the youths. It's pretty intense. And by the way, the Bible's been criticized a lot for this text, that is unfair and unmerciful and unkind to do to children. I want you to understand that the youth that's talking about here is kind of like Cameroonian youth. Pastor Fidelis has talked to about that. It's from age 12 to 30. So this is 42, and I believe it's young men, because I do not think in that culture that young ladies were allowed to hang with the gang. They weren't part of it. So this is a gang. This is a gang, and when it says go up from here, it means literally get out of here. This is our turf. It is a threat. And they are mocking him, which means what? It's what gangs do. And the word mauled here, just by the way, means baka. It means to be ripped and split open. It's an intense reaction of God because of this sin. But I want to ask you, what was the sin here? They did not fear God. And what is ruling in this 42 is fear. Is it not? They're a gang. They rule by fear, but they're a gang because of fear. How many teens do you know that are absolutely terrified to not dress a certain way? And I mean, they're scared. And some dude in the gang gets, I'm talking about guys here, gets earrings, and now what has to happen? You have to have, you say, oh, Pastor, you're meddling now. No, I'm not. I'm talking to you about fear that will drive you to put holes in your head. And then they got to have the certain shoes or what? I'm not going to be seen as cool, and if I'm not cool, I'm not accepted in the gang, and we're terrified of anything that's different. How many men stood up in the 42 and said, this isn't right? How many? None. No one stood. They were all members of the gang because they were ruled by fear, and it's always been that way. Last week, we talked about Caleb. If you look in the Old Testament, it says about Joshua and Caleb, they were not under the curse that God put on Israel to wander in the wilderness for 40 years because there was a different what in them. Anybody know? A different what? A different spirit in them. What did they have? They had the spirit of the fear of God. But they refused the spirit of fear of the world. And each one of them, if you do the math, there's 2 million adults that turn against God. There is two men with alongside Moses, two men that stood and they wept and they tore their clothes and they stood up against this flood of rebellion and they said, we should not do this. We should enter in. 1 to 1 million. So we celebrate Caleb, right? We celebrate Joshua. Do we not want to raise the next Joshua generation? We want to raise the next. We need to raise not gangsters, but heroes. And if you're not willing to stand against, you will just go with the flow and you'll be driven by fears. I want to tell you, I want to tell our youth, listen, you think teenage rebellion is novel? No, it's an old pack mentality. Everybody has to rebel or you're not part of the group. Everybody needs to mock authority. Everybody needs to rail against because that's what we do. And you're terrified to stand. And I want to challenge you today. Will you stand and say, that's not right? Are we raising warriors who will be the next heroes, or are we raising gang members who will be the next gangsters? And I tell you, people, we have got to raise children to be tough. And I hear things like, well, I'm just lonely. My child's lonely. The Lord brought me back to this week. Oh, my goodness. Walking with Jesus Christ is a lonely path. See, we are alive together, amen? But we're not alive together unless we individually chose to die to ourselves. We had to go down. You don't go through the narrow gate of surrendering your life to Christ in twos and threes. You come through what? One at a time. I was remembering this week, and I asked April to refresh my old mind, that we took her to Moody Founders Week. My wife and I took her to Chicago with us because, frankly, we had no youth group in our church. By then, we had gotten down to basically nothing. And she wasn't going to a Christian school. She was what? She was alone. And she was still standing. And so we took her back with us to Chicago. We went into Moody Church, and Moody Church seats 5,000. And during Founders Week, they require most of the students to show up at the preaching services. So the vast majority of the 5,000 is students. And so she got in there, and there's these, you know, out of 5,000, 3,000 or 4,000 young people singing their hearts out about Jesus. And she looked around at these people from all over the world, and she realized what? I'm not alone. That was good for her. And then she had to go back and do what? Stand alone. Are we raising warriors? Are we? Are we raising those who will stand to be the next heroes, or are we raising gangsters? How much are we teaching them the fear of the Lord? Are we teaching them the fear of the Lord? 1 Peter 4:4 says that we're all going to suffer because the people that we used to run with in a flood of dissipation. What's that mean? People do sin in droves. There's a whole flood. There's a whole momentum. The whole world's going that way. And one of the things we've done is we've taken our children out of schools. We've taken them out of situations. Why? Because we're afraid they're going to be what? Swept up in the what? In the flood. Does that make a hero? Because someday they've got to what? They got to stand. Someday they have to know what it is to walk the profoundly lonely road like Joshua and Caleb that stood up to a million and said, this is not right. They have to be able to do that. And did Jesus not tell us that from the very beginning? Let's go to Luke chapter 14. He said, count the cost. You have to be willing to follow me. Count the cost. How lonely is that road? Verse 26, if anyone comes to me and does not, this is intense, does not hate his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. How intense is that? You say, wait, we're supposed to love. Listen, I get that. Jesus said you're supposed to love even your enemies, but he's talking about who you follow, who you fear, who you give yourself in allegiance to. Not even your own father, not even your own mother. It's intense, right? Wife, children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even your own self. How lonely is that? It's profoundly lonely. So when your child says, well, I have to do those things because I just want a friend. You have a friend. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus, and he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And if you want to follow him, you need to stand up, and he's going to put you in a place that you've got to choose to follow him and him alone. When I gave my life to Christ, I didn't have a family member on my right or my left that knew Jesus. And it doesn't matter if your whole family knows Jesus. Guess what? You got to follow him alone. You got to give your life to him. And it will cost you everything. But we do it because he is Lord. When I confess him as Lord, it's because I am aware that he is Lord. What does that mean? That he's Lord. He is, as my grandchildren said, he's the boss of my life. It belongs to him. I fear him more than I fear the wolf pack. I fear him. We're in this together. But we're not together unless we're in this alone. Does that make sense to you? You do not do what you do in this church because of me or anybody else. We love each other because we are in living presence of a king who made it his command for me to love you. And I do it. And when I'm loving you, I'm loving him. Are we raising gangsters? By the way, even as I speak, people come into the church and they're always wanting to know what kind of gang member I am. What are we listening for? Does he ever, you know, because we live in a gang-oriented world. As adults, we have gangs. You're either a Democrat or a Republican, right? You know, you either wear the tattoo of a right to bear arms or you wear the tattoo of global warming and we better prevent it, right? And you listen to hear the language I'm speaking because you want to know whether I'm in your gang or not. And if I'm not, you'll walk out of here. And it's peddled on TV. And the fear thing, the enemy uses fear. This morning I was sitting in our pastors, you know, and we were talking about Katie going to get my Nigerian grandson. And I have another Ecuadorian grandson coming just a few weeks after that. Hallelujah. And they're coming here. But there was a time when more people would shout hallelujah. And now we're at a time where people are like immigrants. Oh, has anybody vetted that four-year-old? He might be planning on. Silly, right? How many of you are not immigrants to America? We're all immigrants to America. Unless you're a Native American, and if you go back far enough, you're still an immigrant to America because we all started in the same wee little garden. But fear is peddled, amen? And there's this gang mentality, and we respond in fear, and we shut our borders. Listen, if you do that, you will not live a hero's story. What are you dying for? What drives you? Oh, God has amazing things for our future. Amazing things. But we need to be willing to walk alone so we can be together with the same cause. Father God, I thank you for your word. And God, I pray today that every single person here would know what it is to surrender to you as Lord, to tremble before majesty, to know what it is to call you your rightful name because they've surrendered everything to you because you alone are the Lord of lords and King of kings. And only by fearing you and only by giving themselves totally to you can they be free of all the fears of this world. And only by doing that can they know what it is to walk in newness of life. God, I pray today that you would cause all of us to cry out to you for a fresh fear. a fresh awareness of your majesty and your holiness. And God, today I pray that you would set captives free, because that's really the issue. These 42 youth were not free to stand up because they had given themselves to gang fear. And 42 of them got shredded. And God, today I pray that all of our children would set aside the bonds, the fears of this world. They would stand on their feet and say, this is not right. And they would walk with you, Jesus. They'd walk in power. They'd walk the hero's story. They would stand against a million who would pick up stones to stone them. And they would stand in faithfulness before a holy God, fearing you more than the million. God, raise up heroes in our midst. And God, I pray for us as grandparents and us as parents that we would teach our children the fear of the Lord. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. By the way, that whole thing of teaching your children right now, if God is telling you to get on your face, I don't care if you're 60, I don't care if you're 90. If God is telling you to get on your face, remember what you're teaching those. Have you graduated from the fear of the Lord? That's a lie. Can you still? I think it's more compelling. It's more compelling when our generation gets on our face before God than some tender little girl that so quickly turns to Jesus. Amen? Amen? I didn't hear a very loud amen. I want to hear from the old people. I want to hear, amen! Seriously, you need to teach our young people how to fear the Lord. Amen? When will they fear God? When they see it in you. Do not be a slave. Do not be a slave to what is dignified, religion. The elders, I want to remind you, in heaven right now, what are they doing every time there's a chorus of praise break out in heaven? What are the elders doing? Boom, falling down on their face before the Lord. They're falling down on their face. You think they're up there going, oh, this is getting tiresome, my bones are hurting. Do you think they're doing that? No. It says every time the elders, boom, fall on their face before God. Who's leading heaven for all eternity in the fear of the Lord? The elders. I want to call our elders out. Are you cutting a trail for my grandchildren to follow in the fear of the Lord? We need that. So I want to encourage you today, seek the Lord. Ask him for a fresh awareness of his holiness, fresh outpouring of who he is. We need the fear of the Lord. Amen.